You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Enterprise Radio and your host, Eric Dye.
Once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio. This is Eric Dye. Enterprise Radio is your EPN channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and top executives who have experienced great success, as well as the sharing of their latest creations, products, and or services that can help you build your business, leading to business success. Today, once again, we are speaking with Michael J. Swanson from Nashville, Tennessee. He is the CEO of Advocate Capital Incorporated and has written a book called How David Beats Goliath, Access to Capital for Contingent Fee Law Firms. Mr. Swanson, good to connect with you once again here on Enterprise Radio.
Hi, Eric. Great speaking with you again. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you're welcome. So, again, as the CEO of Advocate Capital and author of the book, How David Beats Goliath, certainly a catchy title there, you have had a chance to see contingent fee law firms in action for many years. I notice also that you donate all of the profits from your book to the American Association for Justice Seventh Amendment Fund. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. Well, the Seventh Amendment Fund is a nonprofit fund of the AAJ, as you mentioned, designed to educate consumers about their constitutional rights vis-a-vis the Seventh Amendment. You know, most people know the First Amendment, right? Freedom of speech. That's as American as you get. Some people know the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. A few people might remember the Fourth Amendment from high school. That's the one where you can't be subject to illegal search and seizure. But almost no one knows what the Seventh Amendment is. And the Seventh Amendment is the right to a jury trial in matters exceeding a value of $20 in a civil court matter. So if there's a civil dispute, you have a constitutional right, you and I both have a constitutional right to a jury trial for that dispute. And that's an important right. It's important to not only us as individual citizens, but also to our economy. And the framers of the Constitution were very wise, and they recognized that individuals needed some kind of a tool to get justice when they've been wronged by a very powerful entity like a large business or a government. So it's that Seventh Amendment that gives us the right to be heard and to have a chance to have justice when we've been wronged as individuals. So it's very important right.
What is a contingent fee contract and what role does it play in society?
Well, that's a good question. In fact, that phrase is in the subtitle of my book, Access to Capital for Contingent Fee Law Firms. So the contingent fee contract is a contract entered into between a law firm and an individual, or could be a business as well, in which the law firm agrees to be paid only if they're successful and be paid some percentage of the overall take. So rather than bill hourly, they agree to pursue and prosecute this civil matter on behalf of the individual and to only get paid if there's some kind of payment at the end of the case. Now, this is extremely important because without the contingent fee model, citizens would effectively not be able to exercise their Seventh Amendment right because most people cannot afford to hire a lawyer and pay them $200 or $300 an hour for a year or two in order to prosecute their case. And so this contingent fee model is vital, and actually it's kind of the keys to the courtroom, if you will, so that individuals can exercise that Seventh Amendment right, and it's that contingent fee contract and the lawyers that are willing to work in that matter that give life to our Seventh Amendment rights.
And why is the contingent fee business model so challenging for a law firm to manage?
And boy, it is challenging, and that's kind of what my book is about, trying to help these law firms from a financial management standpoint, a capitalization standpoint. You know, every business, small and large, has to manage its cash flow, obviously. And that's, you know, typically created by the time lag between when a business incurs the cost for inventory, overhead, et cetera, for delivering its product or service. And then there's that time gap between that delivery of the service and to when they actually get paid. And that's managed in various ways. But with the contingent fee law firm model, that time gap is both extremely large and extremely unpredictable. It's extremely large in that most civil matters take between 6 and 18 months to come to fruition. So a law firm may be putting in time and energy and overhead and hours on an individual case for over a year before they ever get paid, such a huge gap in time. And then there's the variability, because every case is different. Some cases might resolve in 6 months. Some might take 6 years. So it's very challenging to manage that contingent fee law practice model, and that's one of the reasons I wrote the book.
Today we're joined by Michael J. Swanson from Nashville, Tennessee, the CEO of Advocate Capital Incorporated. He's also the author of the book, How David Beats Goliath, Access to Capital for Contingent Fee Law Firms. And he's joined us once again here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Now, Michael, based upon your experience, do you have any general advice for the managers of a contingent fee law firm or even business owners in general?
I do. In fact, the last two chapters of my book deal with recommendations. And because a contingent fee law practice is essentially a service business, many of the tips and advice that I give are applicable to any small business. And the book's full of them. I'll just touch on just a couple of them. And these are things I see lacking quite often. The first thing I would say is create an emergency fund. Create some kind of a cash reserve fund for your business so that you can weather the tough times. And by the way, an emergency fund is not a loan. So one of the problems is a lot of people say, well, I have a bunch of credit cards and I'll just use those if I get in a slow month. Well, that just digs the hole deeper. So have an emergency fund built up, cash reserve. Secondly, create separation of duties in your business to prevent your fraud. For example, whoever balances your business checkbook should not be the person opening the bank statements. That should be separated. And then also, the person who writes checks at the business should not be the one signing the checks. So it's important to separate those duties in terms of preventing fraud. And then lastly, I would say invest in training. And that sounds like an HR thing, not a financial thing, but so often we see that the individuals in small businesses who are responsible for the bookkeeping and financial statement preparation really have not received adequate training. So invest in training from a financial standpoint, and that might involve training yourself on how to read financial statements. So it's important to spend time on that.
And what about some advice if a business owner is considering taking out a loan? What advice would you have in that regard?
Well, sure, that's a good question as well. First, get a detailed term sheet from whoever the potential lender is. And a detailed term sheet is usually a one- or two-page document which should spell out every single possible cost that you could incur for this business loan, any fee, any application fee, the interest rate, very, very clearly and specifically, because bankers are sales reps, and they want to get loans done, and they may not disclose everything. So demand a detailed term sheet, ideally signed by an officer of the company or the bank. Also, you can check out banks on the FDIC website. Most people don't know that. If you're considering doing business with a bank you're not familiar with, fdic.gov/bankfind, or just Google FDIC bank find, and you can look up any bank in the country and quickly assess its financial condition and see how they're doing. Some banks are still in trouble. If it's not a bank, it's a non-bank lender, absolutely ask about their funding sources, get references, and check references on that particular lender. And then lastly, spend a few dollars on legal advice. Have your lawyer review any loan documents to make sure that you know what's in them.
In conclusion, I noticed that in your book also you list the top 12 financial mistakes that law firms make. How many of them translate to small businesses in general, and maybe let's get into maybe six of those if you've got a moment.
Sure, Eric. I think the majority of them do because, again, these law firms are small service businesses. So I'll touch on just a few. A very common mistake we see in small businesses is what I call promoting the receptionist to CFO. Right? So the business might be doing well, it's growing, and the business owner says to the receptionist, hey, you're now the CFO, but here's a license for QuickBooks, figure it out. That's a huge mistake, and as I said before, you need to invest in training and hire the right people for those financial roles. Another one I kind of touched on is failure to maintain a cash cushion. It's very rare that businesses do that. Also, failure to review and evaluate the financial statements of the business on a regular basis. It especially happens if you're busy and growing. Oh, I don't have time to look at the income statement this month. I'll wait till next month and next month and next month. And it's very important to block out time on your calendar each month to read and understand your financial statements. I'm talking about the income statement, the balance sheet, and the cash flow statement. And if you need help with that, ask your accountant to sit down and explain it to you. And then lastly, I think the most common mistake that we see from a financial standpoint is what we call financing short-term benefits with long-term debt. So a business might decide they want a new advertising campaign. It's going to last for 3 months. They go out and borrow a bunch of money to do that. And at the end of the 3 months, maybe it worked, maybe it didn't, but they still owe the money. So they bought 3 months of advertising, and it might take them 3 years to pay the loan off. So that mismatch of the benefit to the term of the debt is something that we see, and it can be very detrimental to any small business.
Well, before you go, I certainly, once again, appreciate all the insight and information given here today. How about telling our listeners where they can get more information about your book, where it can be purchased, and also how they can be in potential contact as well?
Sure. Sounds great. Well, just go to howdavidbeatsgoliath.com. howdavidbeatsgoliath.com. That's my book website. And there you'll find links to get in touch with me. You can also subscribe to my blog. And there are links on the right-hand side of every page where you can purchase a copy of the book at barnesandnoble.com, iTunes, and Amazon.
You certainly got the bases covered. Michael, always good to have you. And thanks for joining us once again here on Enterprise Radio.
Great, Eric. Thank you so much for the service you provide. Appreciate you.
You are welcome. Appreciate you, too. Now, we've been speaking with, once again, Michael Swanson from Nashville, Tennessee, the CEO of Advocate Capital Incorporated, who is the author of How David Beats Goliath, Access to Capital for Contingent Fee Law Firms. And once again, the website of reference is howdavidbeatsgoliath.com. And this is Eric Dine. You've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of ETN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Check us out on Facebook and receive exclusive content that you certainly do not want to miss. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio here on ETN. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.